Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All righty then, the Shelter Footycast live from Backchat Studios, the morning before the big derby event. Skeet, I can tell you off the top, welcome. It is sold out, all done, dusted. Told you it would sell out.
Yeah, you're sure Fred again's not playing there tonight? I still cannot believe that people would waste their Thursday night coming to listen to the stuff that we talk about.
Leadable Hotel, if you did get tickets, well done, congratulations. Matt Pavlich, Josh Kennedy are going to be down there, and Mark Reddings will be there as well. Skeeter, well, nice of you to dress up today, mate. Yeah, well, what's going on? You're in shorts, thongs, and a beautiful looking t-shirt.
Nice of you to turn up, given you're running like a Jetstar flight late again. But I'm dressed nicely. You are dressed nicely, so it's a changing of the guard here, because I've gone dressing like you, and you're dressing like me, which is... A nice little swapsy.
Do you like this t-shirt? This is the Backchat Ale t-shirt.
I like it, actually, because Dan threw me a extra large, which I could have... It's like a doona, so I gave that back. And thankfully, I just got an extra large, so I'm feeling quite good. And this will be used quite regularly.
Feel good, look good, Skeeter. As we like to say, Shelter Footycast socials, you know what to do there. Footycast at backchatstudios.com.au. If you want to send us an email, we'd love to hear from you on the show. Skeet, as I said, the Backchat Ale relaunch sold out tonight at the Leadable Hotel. If you missed out, I told you so. If you did miss out on the event, though, and you want to get some of the beers, there's a couple of cartons left. So jump on shelterbrewing.com.au and you can buy yourself Backchat Ales, and you can also buy some of the merch that Skeet is wearing right now. You could actually do quite well as a model in another life, Skeeter, couldn't you?
I always thought I was a good hand model, a bit like George Costanza in Seinfeld. Not sure if you're a Seinfeld man, but the episode where a beautiful woman, sees his hands, and mine are pretty similar because I don't do a lot of manual labour, and he becomes a hand model. The issue is, if you follow Seinfeld, the great episode is when he goes to see Jerry in a change room, and he accidentally puts his hand on a hot iron and it ruins his modelling career. So that's about as close as I can come, a hand model, a la George Costanza.
You would be a great George Costanza. That's what you would be, wouldn't you?
I tell you what, there's a lot of characteristics that I'm not unemployed and I don't live with my parents, but I've got a few of his loser qualities, I know.
Very good. We gave away our tickets as well, thanks to TASA, Travel and Sports Australia. If you do want to get onto any great travel or sporting trips, travelandsportsaustralia.com.au is where to find that. Mitchell, congratulations. He'll be heading off on the plane with the players. Two tickets to the game on the Gold Coast next week, round 7.
Yeah, just make sure that he stays safe and sound. Cavill Avenue can be a bit of a hot spot if you get caught at the wrong time or not. Cavill Avenue is like the party
zone. I know
zone.
Where Cavill Avenue is. I'm just wondering how you know where it is.
Well, because I've got family. I've lived there.
Yeah, that's where all the nightclubs are.
That's what I'm saying. There's a couple of... Just make sure he stays safe, and hopefully Peter Staples looks after him, and apart from the players, looks after our Mitch boy who's over there just doing a bit of partying in a week or two.
Burley Pavilion comes highly recommended both from Mark Reddings and my good self.
Yeah, it goes beautifully. A lot of influencers, a lot of TikTokers, and lots of no clothes being worn.
Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footycast. Sting Boy, you want to play me a sting, Nicholas? Thank you very much, Nicholas. We going okay on Jetstar this
week? Okay. Only problem is I've just been told the toilet in this Jetstar flight hasn't been working for a while. So code brown is what I've been told. Code brown. Any danger of someone maybe paying a plumber to come in and fix this asshole?
We're speaking to Schwan, who's our property manager. So it's like a Seinfeld episode in here sometimes. Someone get on to Schwan now. Skeeter, let's get on to some of the big things happening in the AFL this week. Charlie Cameron gets off. Tick, I think. I don't think he should have been suspended.
I like it, but the reason behind it is worth discussing.
Charlie Cameron gets off. Tick. Exceptional and compelling circumstances due to the fact that he's a good bloke has got him off that.
Character referencing probably doesn't cut it when it comes to suspensions in the AFL. I think that's been spoken about by the AFL before. I'm not sure how and why the Lions bothered to bring that in, but they obviously want to say he's got exceptional character, particularly his goal-kicking exploits as well, and also about the fact that he does work for the Indigenous community, which is all good. That's terrific. But it's
irrelevant.
Totally separate to the incident at play. And that's why a lot of the Melbourne media are jumping up and down. I think it was a decent decision given. I don't want to see players suspended under those circumstances. And look, there are some that deserve to go. But I thought Charlie Cameron, on what I saw, could have got off. But the way they went about it, it certainly might force a restructure of what the tribunal has to look for in terms of evidence being given by the defence in this case.
This has to be a giant can of worms open here. So if Will Schofield is coming up next week to the tribunal, I've had 100 games where I haven't done anything wrong. I'm pulling out good behaviour, which Charlie Cameron and his crew did. I'm pulling out the most famous person I know to write a character reference about what a good father I am and what a good bloke I am and all the community work I do. And I should get off. Should I not get off?
Well, that sort of stuff goes on, in all seriousness, before you were playing, back to the 90s when I'd go to the tribunal and Neil Bizzy would sit there and the Eagles, or the not the Dockers so much, for the Eagles because it was in the early 90s. Yeah, that would all come into play and you're going, this has absolutely zero to do with what's happened on the field. So, yeah, it's a strange one. And look, I just thought they had enough evidence on the act itself. The problem, I guess, some are saying, I think he had five fines or five sanctions.
Yeah, so he's no saint, but that's fine, that's footy.
Yeah, but it's separate to this case. I mean, your past should really be, not like in a criminal law where you've got, this bloke's got a history. This is a case, just take it on this basis, forget his kicking, goal-kicking record, forget his community work.
So they ruled that this is a one-week suspension. They said that it was medium impact, it was careless, but they ruled it like on the lower side of careless, like they gave him a lower grading of careless. How can you be more or less careless? You're either careless or you're not, aren't you?
Oh, look, I thought with
Lever, they gave him a week and then they got him off it.
Yeah, I thought Lever had one arm free. I think he accentuated his head hitting the deck, which I think has become a real issue with some players trying to extract free kicks.
So just say that and use that as the reason. Mm. Like, what are we saying, good bloke? I just think it would be malpractice and poor form by anyone who ever comes up against the tribunal this year to not use the Charlie Cameron defence. So I think that's what we're saying.
Agree.
Good. And above all that, good on him. Well done for getting off. I love it. I love that he got off. It's just dumb. And then the AFL hasn't challenged it. Even dumber. I don't know. Dumb and dumber. We know a little bit about that. In here now, Skeeter. Jordan Clark has re-signed for the Freo Dockers. That's a great signing. I think he's been impressive.
Almost to the end of this decade, close to.
Right, it's a big deal, is it?
It's a big deal.
We like seeing Backman on big deals.
Well, and look, Fremantle's future with some of their young players is in pretty good hands, or they're safe. And let's bear in mind, contracts mean absolutely bugger all at times in the AFL.
Yes.
But you've got Switkowski, Johnson, Frederick, Tracy till 2026. You've got Sarong, Young, Ryan and Chapman, 27. Walker and Clark now, 2028. So what's that? Another 25, 6, 7.
That's their core, isn't it?
Yeah, their core. Longer term, Amos 29, Jackson 29, and then the big boys, Cox and Darcy, 2030, which I've done the sums and I'll be 60. So I'll just about be. If I'm still doing the Shelter footy cast with you, I'm in a fair bit of trouble.
We'll be on, no doubt, we'll be on Channel 7 with this show, the Shelter footy cast. Skeeton's going, he's smoking a couple of cigarettes. What? 6-year-olds carrying on like pork chops. Look, I think it's a good signing. I think he's been brilliant. Great addition to that squad. And that is a proper, like all those names you just read, that's premiership. Not going to win it, guaranteed, but that is the blokes that if they're going to win a premiership, will take them to that holy land. That is a group of players.
Yeah, my information after the Carlton controversy in Adelaide, yes, where Jordan left the ground and was feeling okay about life, but then the aftermath and the backlash and what was reportedly said, what wasn't said, quite upset him. And he actually, I'm told, wanted to come back to Perth because of some of the stuff that was being said.
Old mate Pell would have probably accentuated that, the umpire.
Yeah, well,
that was bullshit.
That was rubbish. Look, bottom line is, was, anyway, it's going into the past, but yeah, he's got through that. He's been really in good form. I think he was 31 touches against Carlton, 21 against Port. He's been a gun. He'd be in their top five this year in the Doig Medal at this stage.
I like him a lot, and it's great news. Harley Reid, rising star, the West Australian, very happy with that. Put some more memes on the back page.
I'm surprised, because I think it was his birthday this week. I'm surprised we didn't go a bit further than just a seven-picture spread, and Jacob Waddell and the boys, they missed that one, because if they'd known it was his birthday, it could have gone anywhere.
Oh, that was brilliant. I think he deserved it. Made him wait a little bit, but he was always going to get one. But I love to see it. Look, I saw this during the week, and I wonder your opinion on it, Skeet, given what we've seen from his first four games or five games now, whatever it is. North Melbourne beat the Gold Coast Suns late in 2023.
Yes.
They lose Harley Reid. Should they have thrown last year's game and tanked to get the pick one?
Well, that's the statement that's been made this week after we've seen Harley in action. 2020 is always good. The hindsight factor comes in here, though. With, you know, would they have, you know, had the draft? Would they have got the priority picks and the draft selections they've made? Would Ben McKay have come over? Does it would have changed the complexity of the draft
completely?
Yeah. Right. So I understand in a single case that looks bad for North, but I still think they had a pretty decent crack at the draft and what they got across. If they'd got Harley Reid, would they have still been able to collect and been given the subsidy, so to speak, they had? I don't know. It's an argument. I think you summed it up last year pretty well. I mean, your culture of winning is so important, and that's what the Eagles did last Sunday, albeit against a banged up side. It's immeasurable for younger players, for older, just the club as a whole.
Why you play is to win. So if you have an opportunity to win in this game, and that's why we don't see tanking. And I've heard some arguments about Adam Papalia's big on the lottery draft system and to protect tanking. We don't see it. But teams don't tank because they know the value of winning.
Anymore. I think there's evidence to suggest, well, certainly Melbourne were put under that banner.
Okay. I think it's rare. Yeah. And this shows it's rare, because North Melbourne had every right to not win that game against Gold Coast. They were down by 30 points at one stage, and they come back and win. And they lose the number one draft pick. And I think you're right. They were compensated for finishing second last. They got McKercher and a couple of others as well. So, look, I just think on Harley Reid, rising star, he seems like he's getting better and better every time he plays. I think we're seeing him improve, and he looks like a fast learner. First couple of games, he was just a little bit trying to shrug tackles. He was trying to take people on. He was getting done holding the ball. Within four or five games, he's now shrugging the tackles. That's in four games. So it just tells me he's just a star. He's figured it out.
I'd like to see on Saturday night, Reid gets a ball, and Andy Brayshaw, who's a very good tackler. One of the best. To see how that plays out. But you're right. And there have been shades, without going too far. I thought, gee, there's a likeness to Chris Judd, just the way he's been able to get through traffic and do. What I do know is that they started him in defence when we called a game for KO pre-season. They've had a look at him in the forward line, which he pushes forward and he's a danger. He's going to be around the ball.
He's a midfielder. Let's just leave him in the mids, and we saw what he can do, and I think he'll get better and better, and West Coast fans rightly should be obsessed with him. And he's number one draft pick, and he's the biggest name in the town basically right now, and good on him.
Yeah.
I think good luck to him. Skeet, before we move on to West Coast Freo, look, I don't know how much you want to comment on this, but Jeremy and Finlayson do a podcast with, you know, as you know, Skeeter, on podcasts, you get a little bit looser, I think. Something
more relaxed.
Well, yeah, you certainly do. But, you know, we're sick of seeing the Mark Reddings reading the news, Channel 7. We get the real Mark Reddings in here. Jeremy Finlayson on a podcast with his missus. I don't know if this is a regular thing or not. They've done a segment on it called What's Your Offensive or What's Pissed You Off This Week. He's dropped... I'm pissed off because I got 3 weeks suspended. I'm
tipping out the edge,
mate. He's got,
which is fine. Which is all well and good in the heat of the moment. But on a podcast, Scully, and we know this. If you say something, and we've occasionally said something and went, mate, can we just take that out because it wasn't probably on the money?
You can do that in a podcast. Look, I don't know Jeremy, but he doesn't strike me as the sharpest tool in the shed, mate. Like, how dumb do you have to? How is that going to go any other way? Whether you think that or not, after coming out and making a, you know, apology, coming out and say that, and then we get the secondary, oh, sorry, this isn't what I meant. This is the context I meant. Like, seriously, Jeremy. We don't need to speak about it. Just, like, sharpen up, buddy. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footycast. West Coast Fremantle Derby time. We love this time of year, Skeeter. Everyone in WA turns their eyes to the footy. I think during the year, you've got West Coast fans over here, Freo doing this thing, success, fail, whatever it is. This week, I love this week in Perth. And the more I experience it, the probably more I appreciate it as a player. Sometimes, especially on the West Coast side of things, it wasn't, you know, oversold too much. It was another game. And when you're a player, you do try to think of it like that. But as now, footy fan, media commentator, you like seeing something maybe a little bit more on the line. I'm not sure there is that. I think the angst and the spite have come out of the game a little bit, and I don't think we're going to see that. But with West Coast last couple of weeks, I think we should at least see a competitive game this time around.
Yeah, well, that's what we want. I've got to be honest with you. Most of the last batch of derbies have been duds. They have been absolute duds in terms of competitiveness. 101 points last year. The Dockers just cleaned up the Eagles, as most teams did. Five in a row they've won. I want to see, and I think the result over Richmond was just what we need to see. And obviously Harley Reid and all that goes with the excitement of Eagles' home game. So there's going to be that energy from them. Yeah, I just want to see a competitive game of footy. And I'm being honest, I don't think we've had a single digit a margin between these clubs going back for 6 years, of 2018 when you were playing. I think it was 8 points. It just has lacked, for me, low-scoring, mistake-riddled pressure perhaps, but I just want to see a really good derby, a good derby where we, you know, get to the last quarter and we're not quite sure who's going to win the game.
I think we're going to limit our amount of preview we're going to do in this game, Skeeter, because, as we've been telling you, you need tickets to come down to the derby preview at the Leederville Hotel.
And also, by the time tonight comes around, we're going to know the teams. Correct. And a bit more about what's happening. I think it's fair to say Darcy Lockner to come back in, Frederick 50-50. And
Switkowski out.
Switkowski with the concussion protocols. So too Luke Edwards.
Your boy could debut.
Cooper?
Switkowski out.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. Bear in mind, Darcy comes in probably for Tabana, I'm guessing.
Yeah, has to.
And then, yeah, they switcheroo from there. And the Eagles, you know better than I, Liam Ryan, Dom Sheed.
Dom
Sheed and Liam, I would have thought, more unlikely than likely.
So West Coast, for mine, have to have learnt their lessons from the past. Okay, Liam Ryan and Dom Sheed might be in your starting 22. They need another week in the waffle.
Yep.
Playing these guys at AFL level does not help them from an injury perspective. If they lose Liam Ryan to another injury, because he's at the top level, there is a difference in intensity between waffle and AFL. That's why blokes are paid a lot more money to play AFL. It would just shock me, and I'd be so disappointed if Liam Ryan or Dom Sheed play in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. But say go back to last year and the match prior to a derby and you get beaten by 100 points, if that was the case.
Yep.
You can see the temptation of Adam Simpson to say, well, Liam got through, he's right to go, Dom the same. But here's a rare case in the last 2 years. They can reward the group that did well last week.
As they should.
As they should. So I think it's incumbent upon Simo and everyone at the Eagles. I mean, you can prove the side.
Selection integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called selection integrity.
So they win and win well. You can't go drop five blokes.
100%. For two guys that are still working their way back to full match fitness. So I don't expect too many changes for the Eagles. I expect them to be, as you say, rewarding those that got the job done last Sunday.
We will speak about how it's going to play out, how they get it done, how each team wins, how each plays tonight at the Leederville Hotel, thanks to Shelter and our Backchat Ale release. Skeet, just give me who's going to win and how much.
Well, I think Fremantle, obviously, I think they've played such good footy without winning for a fortnight.
Yep.
And the Eagles are up against an undermanned Richmond side. So I'm not getting too carried away. I think it's fantastic. It sets them up now, the Eagles, potentially to win four or five games for the season, because you're going to have teams like Richmond who either come across here and are banged up or a bit complacent, perhaps, and that's not taking anything away from what the Eagles did against the Bulldogs in round 22 or 23 last year. So I think that the Dockers win.
How much? And Glendetting Allen
medals. I'm praying it's under five goals, because I want to see a good game of footy where the crowd's over 50,000 and there's a buzz. Glendetting Allen medal, given that Fremantle, I think, will win. I think Caleb Sarong, probably in the midfield, is going to be
prolific.
Yeah, one of the mids for Freo, but having given it zero thought, I'll go Caleb Sarong.
I'll go Freo by 8 points in a lower scoring affair, because they haven't quite got their forward connection. But Luke Jackson to win the Ross Glendetting Allen medal, playing forward and through the ruck.
And so if he's playing forward, he's going to have to kick three goals, for instance.
Three to four goals, and then have an impact in the middle of the ground as well.
Yep, but good shout.
St Kilda v. the Bulldogs, Marvel Stadium this evening, Skeet. A couple of teams that are probably on the same level here, I think. Both expected to probably improve on what they did last year. Have they? There's question marks around them both. Look, St Kilda pushed GWS all the way last week. Bulldogs are in a real struggle here. Selection, they lose Jamar Ugle-Hagan.
Personal reasons, yep, which is know. Huge. Yeah, that's only come about in the last 24 hours, by the way.
And we don't know what that is. Tom Liberatore, my favourite player, he is out with concussion. I don't know what they're calling that, but that's what he's out with because he collapsed in the middle of the ground. Just so we clear that up. Thanks very much, Luke Beveridge. And Oscar Baker is out after a fair bit of pressure in the media, I think, to get him out of the side. Rory Lobb, Riley Garcia and James Harms in. That means that Bailey Dale's still in the side because he was subbed last week. Whether or not he's subbed tonight, we will wait and see. Max King is out with that knee and Zach Jones is in. So some really big outs for both sides in King and Jamar Ugle-Hagan. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, look, this is a really tough round. 8 matches and I think 6 of them you probably could make a case for either side. I just wonder, the Bulldogs, they've copped a lot of heat this week. A bit like Essendon the previous week, and obviously they responded in kind. But there's pressure building on Bevo at the Bulldogs, which we've spoken about. St Kilda, they stormed home late, fell short against the Giants. I think Libba's a massive loss. Yep. I think Jamar Ugle-Hagan and King almost neutralised that.
Rory Lobb's coming back in the side. I wonder if we get a TikTok out of him.
Rory. No, you look at it and you think, well, how is St Kilda going to stop the tools if Lobb's in there and Darcy plays well? And,
no Dougal Howard. He's a maybe. But
yeah, so on that basis, I give the Bulldogs a chance. But I don't trust the Bulldogs. I think St Kilda's been more consistent this year.
I don't think the Bulldogs trust the Bulldogs.
No.
Like they seem like they're selecting and then playing like they don't trust each other. I think it's a great point.
And what about this? The Bulldogs have won just 7 quarters this year. Only Hawthorn, North and West Coast have won fewer this season. That's an extraordinarily small amount, given they've, I guess, they beat up on the Gold Coast Suns.
And they beat up on the West Coast Eagles.
So, I'm not buying Bulldogs yet. They'll come out and win tonight because I just can't tip a Thursday night winner. So, Saints for me, Rowan Marshall to dominate, and watch the Bulldogs win by 5 goals.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to win this one. I keep getting drawn to the Bulldogs because they should be good, but they're not. So I might go the Saints as well and look forward to the Bulldogs winning by 10 goals.
And I think one thing with Ross, it's at Marvel, obviously both teams play that ground pretty well, but I just think Ross is, this is the type of game where we're saying, these blokes have been smashed. I think he's pretty good in these situations.
What about Beveridge though?
Oh,
Beveridge will be, he seems like the sort of bloke back against the wall.
Yeah.
He's not just copping it. He'll have a couple of swords behind, out of his back pocket that he'll be pulling out.
Yeah, true. I'm sticking with the Saints. I just think they've been better for longer this year.
Adelaide Crows v Essendon Friday at Adelaide Oval. Another interesting matchup against two sides who have, for mine, I've probably got them in the same basket, similar to the first game of the week. Should be better, they're not. Look, it was a great win by the Adelaide Crows last week against Carlton and an okay win to Essendon. They got it done, sure. But I don't know where this one's going to go. Matt Crouch is a decent out. I really liked how much Adelaide put Rochelle and Rankin through the midfield. They made a huge difference to the way their ball movement went. They got midfield dominance. Jake Soligo was prominent last week as well. I really like what I saw from Adelaide more than what I saw from Essendon last week.
Yeah, well, you're not a huge Bombers fan, full stop, eh? But that's fair enough. Can you believe it? The Crows have been beaten the last 6 times against Essendon. Their last win came in round 21-2017. So some teams match up well against each other. I'm sure you recall playing against a team. Yep. Geez, we haven't been able to get across these.
Geelong never was a skater. So what? Never got within 70 points.
Even when you're playing Sydney. Geelong, they're playing Sydney and Geelong doesn't work out too well for the
Correct,
Eagles. Adelaide, I think you're right. They were a lot better last week. That was the sort of performance we wanted to see. It came when they were just hanging off the cliff. And the Bombers, as good as they've been playing in Adelaide, surely Adelaide and the Crows can find another gear and beat an Essendon side. If the Bombers get up, then we might have to change our opinion. I'm going the Crows.
No, as I said, look, they had a good win last week, Essendon, against the Bulldogs. But we don't know where the Bulldogs are for mine. And I've said I'm not picking Essendon until I think they're good, and I don't think they're good. So I'm going to go Adelaide at home. If this was in Melbourne, it'd be a different
50-50.
Story.
Yeah, Darcy Parish, by the way, has had 39 and 38 disposals last couple of times against the Crows.
It.
So you need to put a way to shut him down.
For mine, his socks up makes him look like such a slower player than I think he is. I don't know why he rolls with it. He would surely know that socks up it's not doing him any favours whatsoever.
He might just want to look like a footballer, Will.
No, well, I think it makes him look less like a footballer. I'd like to see the calves. Would you go socks up or socks down?
My calves, I damaged my calf.
Quite hairy legs, don't you? Just looking at them now.
Thanks.
Well, I've never really seen him. That hasn't seen a lot of sun in the past few weeks.
Very average legs. I've got very nice hands, but very average legs.
Hands.
And my calves. I damaged my calf going for a run the other week, and I went for a walk last night, a quick walk, and it's got sore again. So calves are very difficult to...
Old man's injury the calf.
Oh, hello. you don't reckon I know that, dickhead?
Hello, you reckon? Oh, very good. It's dickheaded dumbass coming at you from the footy cast. Shout out to footy cast. We continue on. Collingwood v Port Adelaide. Oh, you didn't ask my question. Socks up, socks down?
Oh.
You.
Socks up. Oh, socks up probably. Yeah, I mean.
Socks up.
If you don't have good legs, and I'm minor chicken legs, so you just got to get right with what you've got.
I would love to see that. Next photo shoot, Mark Redding's in a footy.
Knee reconstruction on this leg.
Yeah,
cut,
I understand.
Bad calf of that one, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about
Very ordinary career cut tragically short.
Could have been a good player until you did your knee and the fact you couldn't play.
No, an ordinary career, I said.
Collingwood v Port Adelaide, the MCG. This is one of the biggest, if not the... Well, no, there's next two of the next biggest games of the weekend. 11:45 and the Derby. 11:45 MCG. That's our time, of course. Pendlebury have to prove his fitness after getting a big hospital handball from Jordan Ngoi a couple of weeks ago. He's been smashed to pieces, so he's going to have a fitness test. Travis Boak is available after a back/hammy-related injury, if I can remember correctly. So this one, a couple of really good teams going out at skate. Port Adelaide's first game away from Adelaide Oval for a little bit as well. MCG, they played pretty well here.
Beat Richmond there in Boakey's 350th a few weeks back.
Yep. Milestone game.
What they do, and the numbers say this, is that their first possession out of the centre is enormous, 55%. Of centre bounces. They're ranked number one. So when you think of who they've got in there, it's a pretty elite midfield if you've got, you know, Rosie floating around. Soldo's done a really good job. Butters in there. Wines.
Horn Francis.
So, yeah.
That's just a proper midfield.
Sounds like I'm echoing. But, yeah, that's exactly right. They've got a really good midfield. So, yeah, Port Adelaide, they were very, very good at times last week.
Yep.
But not
I think that's the Freo effect, what you're
about to say. You're probably right. Yeah,
it brings clubs down a bit.
Strangles them.
Yeah, yeah, which is a good thing for Freo, but they still get the win. You've got to be able to win.
Yeah.
So, look, I was impressed with them. Collingwood, they don't have their turnover game going. I saw some stats during the week around that they're not quite getting that side of their game correct, which is the defensive side, and it means then their offensive side's down. So across the board for them, whether that's individually or the way they're playing or mental, whatever it is, premiership hangover, all that bullshit.
I'll tell you one aspect that has hurt them defensively, and the bloke's just retired, Nathan Murphy. It's a really his name 24. Will never be brought about, and 24 years of age, 10 concussions I think, including of course in the GF. Darcy Moore just used him as it's like Batman and Robin. He was at the star. Darcy with the blonde hair and the headband and taking the intercept marks. But I thought Murphy's role was highly important to Collingwood last year. So that's a big miss for them. But I think you're right with regards to if they can find more of the footy in the midfield, Collingwood. Their forward line, again, that doesn't inspire me. But, you know, have they... Well, their best performance been against Brisbane.
Yep. And they had to win that game.
So this is a really tough one to call.
I'm taking Port Adelaide at the G in a bit of an upset. I'm assuming they're not favourites at the MCG.
Collingwood's about $1.78 as we speak. So it's about a 50-50 game. I'll tip Collingwood. But you know, again, I'm not sure how close to their best they are. In fact, I know there's sort of question mark is this could be the sign of a premiership the year after where they sort of have highs and troughs.
They're off a bye, right? As well. Like we're in the middle of the year when teams come off a bye, we're always cautious of teams off the bye. They seem to be a bit sluggish. So I'm taking Port. I think they'll win this one and win it well. Carlton GWS, big one here. Marvel Stadium in the dome. GWS have got to go in favourites here, Skeeter. There's losses on both sides. Sam Taylor and Stephen Cornelio both out. We spoke about this. This could have been so much worse than what we saw. Sam Taylor ideally will be in the concussion protocols for a couple of weeks, but we should see him back within the month or so. Stephen Cornelio looked like a 12-month knee, 2 weeks only. I think Carlton's injuries are more significant and they stretch across their whole field. Adam Saad, hamstring. Mitch McGovern, hamstring. Adam Chera, hamstring. They're all hammies.
Soft tissue.
That might have been. Caleb Marchbank, he's hurt himself back into hammy. That tells me they haven't quite got their load correct. When you have numerous similar injuries, whether they're soft tissue, tells me Carlton didn't quite get that right in this period, and there'll be some questions asked around their fitness department there. But there's some big losses there. Saad McGovern, Chera and Marchbank, who could have come in and replace some of those guys.
Yeah, conversely, Sam Taylor is a huge out defensively.
They can cover that, though.
Yeah.
They can cover that.
Yeah, Canelio through the midfield. So yeah, there's a couple of misses. I initially tipped Carlton in this one, but the more I think about the Giants and their midfield. And I said to you, I wasn't that super impressed by Carlton against Freo, maybe the Freo effect there, but I still don't think they're playing super footy. And those outs you mentioned are quite significant. GWS have got a really good record against the Blues in recent times. In fact, Carlton's lost three of its last four matches at the Dome by an average of 50 points. Now, bear in mind, they lost late last year,
right. And
the Giants, I think, had to win to move up. And I think
Carlton made the eight.
And then Carlton have already locked and loaded for their position. So I disregard that, but I don't think there's any issue with the Giants playing at Marvel.
No, neither do I, and I just like how they go about it. They get away with a win last week, fair to say. I think they switched off, and they would have learned a bit from that. And to learn while you're winning, that you know they lose that by a point, you might actually learn a little bit more. But to actually get away with a win when they clearly switched off. I don't know if you saw the footage during the week of St Kilda's marketing department. So down by 7 goals with 10 minutes to go, or whatever it was, start pulling all the signs off the walls, six goals down, still pulling them off, 5 goals down, pulling them off, 4 goals, pulling them off, 3 goals, someone comes running in, 2 goals down, Darcy Wilson kicks a goal, they pull out the tape, they start putting up the signs, because if the song's sung in there, they need all their advertising banners up in the rooms.
So that's legitimate.
A goal down or a point down, there's Pete, the whole team's down there strapping up stickers on the walls and stuff, because if they win, they need their sponsors behind them.
So is that what they did? Was it made up marketing?
There's footage.
Oh, really?
There's footage, yeah.
Of them doing it.
Yeah, hilarious. Because they're in, was it in Manuka? Wherever it was.
Yeah, Canberra.
They were going to have to leave, so they were packing up early. And then because they were like, well, the game's over, done. And then it's like, come out.
The fact that they're prepared to share that is...
Fox Footy found it.
I was going to say, there you go. That to me is... I don't think it's a good look.
That's
a brave marketing department.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good look. Who are you picking, GWS or Carlton?
I've gone Carlton in the paper. For us, I'm going to switch back to Giants. I'm tipping the Giants.
Are you going to tell the paper that you're tipping, or you're just people, beautiful listeners, viewers or readers of the paper are just going to look at Mark Redding's tips and they're going to get sold down the river and they're going to have to listen to the Shelter Footy Cast here that you've absolutely pole vaulted over the other side of the fence.
Yeah, I'm sixth as we speak on the West. I've got to be
right?
I'm up there. I've got a few blokes covered, don't
How
I?
You feeling
including
about
the Premier, and I've got Josh Kennedy, your mate, sort of just. I think Josh puts his tips in pre-season.
He could be down at the pub putting them in, I think.
You've got no idea. Anyway, yeah, so Giants. And I love watching the Giants play. So I'll take
a bit of a head wobble there.
Yeah,
tell you what. So you literally just hedge your bet. You've picked both sides to win.
Yeah. I'm tipping the Giants official. I'll make that official.
Are you going to tell the paper?
Yes.
No, you're not. Make sure you stay tuned to the weekend paper when Skeeter's tips come out. I'm sure you all follow them with absolute battered breath. Brisbane v Geelong at the Gabba.
Wow.
Geelong undefeated.
Yeah, player I tipped this.
Players of Brisbane
undefeated. I thought they'd be about 1-4, not 5-6.
Absolutely. And Brisbane, the opposite. We thought they'd be going well. Look, all the stats say that Brisbane are actually going better than we think.
Yeah, I've seen something from Daniel Hoyne, who's a real... And I've done some interviews with him in Melbourne. He was at Champion Data. I think he went to North Melbourne.
Still is at Champion. Well, he's back at Champion
Data. Yeah, so, but he knows, and you're right, he's given some details on why... given the stats, that they are, if they continue in this trajectory, should be at least prelim finalists.
Something to do with, I think, somewhere around 19 of the last 20 premiership teams, been top three in turnover and then scoring off turnover.
Yeah.
And that's what they are.
And defensively, I think
and
there was...
And defensively as well. So they've got both sides of their game going. Yes, they haven't won games of footy, but it's been because of lapses. If you remember Carlton, they were up and they gave them 10 goals in a row, did the same against Freo. They've had these massive lapses, but outside of that, the 20-minute periods where they just flood goals, they've been dominating teams. So at the Gabba, Skeeter, Connor McKenna could come back in. Dangerfield, Hawkins, Kolodziejczyk, that could be some good ins. Gary Rowan, possibility as well. So Geelong, you know, adding in a Hawkins, a Dangerfield off a win last week, an undefeated side, you can't write them off.
No, and I'm guessing last week, given they played North Melbourne, Danger, he might not have been ready, and Tom... might have played, but
yes.
Without denigrating what the Kangaroos bring to the table. They thought, well,
we can absolutely
win this,
yes,
and then give the old boys just a week extra to make sure they're cherry ripe.
They've done that for a while now, Geelong as well.
And they're 5-0. You can. That's the beauty of Chris Scott. And we've got to give him credit for what a coach he is, because you know, to win a flag in his first season from memory, and then all those years later,
I agree,
get the result. You know, he's done a super job with the team, and they've been able to. And I don't think WA clubs can match this. They've been able to bring in ready-made, Jeremy Cameron, for instance, like bring in players to replenish and also just ready to roll.
Do you know one reason? Like, you know, and they go get Tom Stewart out of the GFL, right, playing for Bowen Heads, and he's turned into this guy. I think the Geelong lifestyle factor plays a big part here. They're able to get, you know, Tanner Bruin comes back from GWS. He's a Geelong boy originally, but they target players that they think are going to like the lifestyle.
And want to stay in Victoria, but also want to be a bit out of the city.
Jeremy Cameron's a perfect example.
Yes.
Country boy, wants to go and live on the farm. You can do that in Geelong and still be 20 minutes away.
It's a one-team town, training. But it's not quite like Perth where,
no,
you know, it's...
Tell you what that could be. The Southwest Stingers down in Busselton. Yeah. I'm telling you, the 20th team could do what... Geelong is a perfect model of what the Southwest Stingers could be. Just the shelter... Southwest Stingers skater. Because that must have a little nice little ring, little roll off the tongue.
I still think that there's places like Canberra they'll look at before, and Darwin potentially.
Just remember, who pays your bills in here, skater? Yeah, the shelter, Southwest Stingers.
The bills, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's great. No, we're going to get around them. Don't worry about that, skate. So, Brisbane Geelong at the Gabba. Who wins?
Brisbane. I just think Cats have been up for a long time. They've got a good side in. That win against Melbourne, though, impressed me. And I think that could be a real catalyst for them to move forward and win a few in a row.
Big game for Brisbane. Like another big one. They had a big one last week and they get it done against Melbourne.
Had a tough run, hadn't they, really?
Yeah, really tough. If they can get this one at the Gabba, they should win it at home against a side. Yes, I understand they're undefeated, but they should win this one. It's a big game. I'm picking Brisbane as well. Sydney v Gold Coast Sunday. SCG, early one, 11 o'clock over here for us. Luke Parker's still a little bit away with that injury he's got. Dane Rampey is out. Maybe we see Joel Hamling in the Sydney Swans colours for the first time. The Gold Coast Suns be pretty happy with how they've gone at home, but their away form has been poor this year at times. Do you think they can challenge Sydney at the SCG?
I think the away form, I think you won't and I won't pick them away from home until we see something better. I know Ballarat probably wasn't the great example of a team having to go away. Gold Coast, you know, it wasn't bad conditions or anything, but you're right. Until we see Damien Hardwick's side show up, they showed a lot against Hawthorn, don't get me wrong. So that was a good team against a team that were very poor, the Hawks, last week.
Have you seen much from Damien Hardwick at all? I was just thinking there.
Publicly?
I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him speak publicly. I haven't seen one grab from him in 6 weeks.
Yeah, no,
have you?
No, it's a good point.
Little point on Damien Hardwick. You see Daniel Rioli get absolutely doorstopped at the
Channel 10 got him as he was either going up to the Gold Coast and did a tour. Now they're saying a tour of the facilities. If that's the case,
that's strange.
That is strange. The timing, but also, does he think that he's not going to be seen? Now, look, it might be innocent given his mates with Hardwick, but to do it during the bye. He was up there for a holiday during the break.
I mean, if you're going to do it, that's when you would do it, Skeeter. But I found that whole image of him walking through the airport and effectively like the crime reporter up in his grill going, you know, this. I don't like that.
Well, sometimes
you've come from a news background, though, Skeeter. Like, sometimes from a media perspective.
Yeah, so if Will Schofield's going from Perth to the Gold Coast to find out he's going to possibly do a tour and he's got a history there. I go to the airport, I would be, and they might have done this, I would say, Scully, I'm going to get a couple of shots of you going through and maybe ask you a question. Sorry, but this is before I put the camera to you. So that's
ideal. That's not what that was.
Though. No, that might have been a case of seeing him, get some vision of him, go up to him. Now, I know it looks bad, but if you go back to your news director without at least asking the question, say, Dan, what's the trip for? I think you've got to look, he's only doing his job, and as long as you do it in a relatively respectful way, I think it's a good news story. And for the time where it eventuates remains to be seen. I know you don't like the look of it and it's not a big enough story in that sense, but I can understand why it happens.
Well, I can too. It's just interesting your perspective. I think that the news director, the boss element is something people forget. They see the camera, they see Journo shoving a microphone in the face, and I hate it. Like I forget it as well. It's like he's got a boss saying, hey, I need you to get Rowley on camera.
It's like when Shane Warne came to Perth for a test match. Everyone wanted to speak to Warne. So Warne would get off. He'd say, can we speak to Warne? He'd say, yeah, no problems. Just let me go outside, have a dart, I'll come back. And he'd speak to you. And they're the type of blokes you love because you know that Warne would speak. There are some guys that are shy, and I totally understand their personality in that respect. I think you would have been someone that quite happily chat and it wouldn't affect you. Some guys, going back inside Chris Lewis, just... you know, clammed up and was really uncomfortable with it.
Katie Price got me one day. I got king hit in Geelong. I don't know if you remember that. Geelong, beautiful place. the lifestyle, walking down the street, get king hit by some bloke right on the street. And I fractured both my eye sockets. I was in no man's land and I wasn't playing that weekend. Had sunnies on. My wife Alex pulled up out the front. And if you remember Kitchener Park, it was up the top on the grass. She pulled up at the top of those stairs and I said, babe, can you have a look around? Is there any media? I'm not going to come out if there's media. She said, nah, all good. Anyway, Katie was hiding behind a fucking dumpster, like genuinely behind a bin. And she came running out and she got me.
Camera, put a high heel.
Camera in the face, questions. And it was the only time in my career that I was really filthy with that. And, you know, as a player, if there was contact made of some description, say we need to get, you know, we know you've been, you know, injured and we need to get some camera footage, I probably would have been like, look, you can film. I really don't want to speak though. I've got fractured eye sockets. I don't particularly want to speak on camera. But if you want to get me walking from the club to my car, go for your life. I probably would have done that. But to cop the camera in your face, journo in your face, you're rattled as a person. You're not expecting it. It's not a good feel.
But having said that, if I was like a media boss at a footy club, I was saying, when this happens, always best to be, and it sounds, you know, always best to be polite, don't look angry.
Yes.
Got to get some medical work done, but yeah.
If you come out the front in your dressing room and you've got no jocks on, skate in your beautiful house, you know, where you live, I won't say where you live, and someone jumps out of the bushes with a camera, I don't think you're going to be going, yeah, nice to see you.
No,
nice to see you.
I understand that. You walk into a footy club, I think, given the profile nature of it, sometimes. But no, that's just an education. Now, can I just say...
Surprised you haven't pulled me up on walking around in your dressing gown with no jocks. You just rolled that off as if that actually happens.
Well, no, I go to the boxes to get the paper. by the way, the Suns have won 40% of their defensive one-on-ones this season. That's the highest percentage
Sammy
in the competition.
Collins, Ballard.
All of that. So that's why I think this game will be close in that respect. I think they can go close, but you've got to tip the Swans, if that's where we're heading.
Yeah, Swans. We're picking Swans.
Yeah, after a complete diversion.
I liked it though.
Yeah, it's good. Chat.
Yeah. North Hawthorn, Sunday, Marvel, both winless teams. What an absolute blockbuster
I've
to finish
this.
The weekend
I've
off.
Got this game for 6 PR.
Dear.
6 hours.
Am I doing it with you?
Well, I hope so.
I'll bet it not be.
Yeah, I hope so. And you better be there at midday, not at 12:07 and leaving early. You're to stay with us, brother, right to the death.
Hang on, what date is it? 21st?
Sunday.
No events on my calendar, unfortunately, Skate. Enjoy that one. North Melbourne Hawthorn. How are you going to polish a turd with this one, Skate? Tell you what, Sam Mitchell, he may swing the axe here. Depends. We spoke about this on Monday. He's looking for a response from his side. North Melbourne, poor against Geelong. You know, will they get Cam Zerha back? We don't know. They both need to improve rapidly. They've both got strengths that they're just clearly not showing. I think Sam Mitchell chopped the guts out of his midfield. Jai Newcombe. I've called him John with my dream team mates. Jai Newcombe, Connor Nash, Warple. They're all just completely underperforming, and he needs performance in there because if they don't get it done, his defence is exposed, Sam Mitchell.
What about their tackle differential of -88 this season for Hawthorn? Now that
midfield,
that's just an effort intensity side of things. Conversely, North Melbourne, we know their troubles. They've conceded 5 goal streaks in every game this year. So whether it's going back to Fremantle early in the season when they led by 5 and then just coughed up a bunch of goals, it's happened every game. Now that might be as a result of the youth in the side. Yeah. But gee, it's hard as a coach to try and, you know, this is one case where you loved in the AFL to say, let's have a timeout. But obviously that's not possible. Hence, Hawthorn, you talk about teams being put under a microscope this week. North Melbourne have sort of sailed where they've sailed to, but Hawthorn have got a lot of scrutiny on a proud club. But, you know, I think 0-6, this is going back a long time, they've been 0-5. There's plenty of years since they were 0-5.
Are you going to get another priority pick, North Melbourne?
No, and they shouldn't.
Well, I think they will.
Well, but this is the argument we go back to. Well, how come we haven't heard anything this week about the Eagles getting a priority pick?
I'm not asking whether they should or shouldn't. I'm asking
no.
they will or
no, they will not.
I think they will.
No.
If they can't win a game.
Clubs will go absolutely burko. Yeah. But how come there's been no talk about the Eagles as the priority pick this week?
Oh, because everyone's, you know, bloody like bobblehead about Harley Reid. He's a superstar, the rising stars. They're going to win 10 games. I think on the radio this
vision.
Week, I said they could win 3 of their next 4 games.
So I saw on social media this vision of Eagles supporters lining up to get finals tickets.
Oh, that's very good. Skeet, who are we picking? North or
I'm going the Hawks. I think Hawks will get across the line at Marvel.
Big response coming, I think so as well. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. A couple of listener questions, Skeeter, to get through. I like some of these. Footycast at backchatstudios.com.au, best place to put them. If you want to send us one on socials, you can do that too. Shelter Footycast on Instagram will get you there. Now, Skeeter, it's a little bit of a long one, but I'll get through it. G'day, gents. Listening to your discussions around Jeremy Finlayson's suspension, it surprises me that clubs don't take the pride in sport training as a group annually, or as individuals enter the system. It seems crazy to me that this training is now being used as a form of punishment rather than an opportunity to educate. Surely it's better to be educated about the LGBTQ community before making an insensitive comment by mistake. Finlayson presents as a person who would deliberately... Sorry. Finlayson presents as not as a person who would deliberately offend a minority group, and I don't think that was his aim either, so I feel prior education could have prevented the entire thing. If training was made available to clubs on all minority groups such as LGBTQ, racial, religious, etc., an obvious line in the sand can be drawn as part of the training that anyone dared to cross it would know the consequences. That all said, like you both, I'm also a straight white male, so I don't think my opinion is the one that matters in these discussions. I was glad to hear that the AFL had asked for guidance from the Pride in organisation. You're probably going to cut the rest of that down, Nicholas, because I can't get ready. Look, I will say, players, certainly when I was playing, were given
education.
Yeah, every year.
And that's social media, gambling, drinking, drugs, treatment of women, whether it's minority groups, be it, you know, LGBTQ.
Yes.
Etc. Racial, that's all covered, I'm guessing. At
absolutely
clubs?
It is. Yeah. So you can't, Jeremy Finlayson certainly can't hide behind the fact he didn't know. So you're not educated.
No.
I think what he's been, a part of his punishment, in inverted commas, is to undertake further education. Because clearly, one, he wasn't listening. Two, given his comments this week, shows if he wasn't listening, it might have gone straight through that head of his, because I don't think he's overly smart. So the education element is above and beyond what other players do. But just so we know, this isn't something that gets bandied around on AFL fields left, right, and centre, right? And I know everyone wants to be outraged, and that's fair enough. He's discriminated against a minority. But it's also a minority of people doing this. The majority of people respect others. They don't discriminate against others. And they get on with their lives. And they just worry about, you know, themselves, which I wish some people would do, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think what happens in the heat of a game or an argument that can happen outside of football, you say stuff that you think, geez, that was,
yes, mate,
that
was like, poor. But what I'm saying is arguments happen all the time on the footy field. There's not homosexual discrimination every game. That doesn't happen.
No.
This is a once-off. This isn't a problem, scrounging the game of AFL. This is a Jeremy Finlayson thing.
Yeah.
So well, Clarko
had it as well. My point is...
Well, let's not get too carried away with it, is my opinion.
Yeah, I just think that it's... most of these players are between the age of 20, 25. You make mistakes in life, and all you can do is learn from it. If he goes and does it again in 6 months, then he deserves to have the book thrown in.
The Disenchanted on social media says, this whole Richmond were depleted narrative is silly. West Coast have been depleted for 3 years, yet never got away with using that excuse. Didn't stop them from doing it, I will say. More importantly, we're currently missing our best goal kicker, co-captain and Oscar Allen, as well as Liam Ryan, Dom Sheed, Elijah Hewitt, Matt Flynn and Cully to boot. It was good win regardless of how much anyone wants to piss on it. Look, on that Richmond was depleted, I don't think it's any different to saying West Coast have been depleted for the last 2 years.
Which we've been saying.
Yeah, correct. And I think this is what the Disenchanted is saying. It's the same thing. So, whether people wanted to agree with it or not, Richmond had a lot of players missing on the weekend. And so did West Coast. And the reason they haven't got away with it was because West Coast has had 2 years of it. That's why they haven't got away with it. It's been a consistent form. And at stages, they have had their players. They haven't been playing well.
And they've been beaten by, you know, 100-plus points. Now, if you know, Richmond were beaten by 39, I think it's the way you lose as well. And it's the way that the Eagles lost without some of their better players. And it's been, without argument, they've struggled to put together a squad or a team of any significance. But it's also the way you lose. So maybe now they've got, you know, some continuity in some of their better players. That'll change.
Skeeter, this is the last one. I like this. B Wood 2462. This is a couple of days ago. The AFL need to protect the head, but also need to be vocal about protecting the neck and back. If players are trained as juniors to avoid risking injuring others, then you'll see less head clashes over time. But I have one fear. Kids that grow up where they don't need to be conscious of protecting their own head may leave themselves vulnerable in the future because they'll enter PAX head first, thinking others won't hurt them, but it only takes one accident to be serious. A bit like cricket helmets, there's never been so many hits on the head as people now take risky positions when batting because they have a helmet on. I'll start with this one, Skeeter. I agree with this comment. I think as a junior, and I'm not going to put my hand up and say I'm a hero, and you know I certainly have had a few head knocks during my career, but I was almost always conscious of putting myself in a better position than my opponent at ground balls, and that was coming in sideways, using strength that way. I very rarely, and again, not being a hero, but I very rarely came into a pack, head down, reaching out, you know, hoping no one would hit me in the head. I made sure I was in a position to protect myself, and I don't think we see enough of it, and whether that's starting at juniors, whether that's coming from a misguided belief that they're not going to get hit in the head because, you know, we're protecting the head now, I still think there is a responsibility, not all, but there is a responsibility on the player that gets hit in some circumstances to put themselves in a better position.
Yeah, and that, you know, goes, and this is a difficult one to adjudicate, but if I'm running forward and on the lead and you're coming back, you decide to go back with a flight.
That's not what we're talking about either. That's not what I'm talking about.
No, you're putting yourself in danger. An argument you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position that the player is coming for the ball.
You felt this one with the Peter Wright one, didn't you?
Well, no, I thought Peter Wright got 4 weeks and he was always going to get
it. No, but the oncoming player, Cunningham, maybe could have protected himself.
There was an argument that, yeah, look, he's probably left himself vulnerable. And you've seen guys like Brett Hedy over the years going back in time. This is well before the head became sacrosanct. He would say, no, he'd go back and put himself at danger. James Hurd. There's been plenty of players with courage that goes above and beyond, but you've also now, in the modern day, you've got to obviously look after yourself, but also your team's interest, which means you're playing.
Yeah, there's desperation to win a ball. So like the Bailey Banfield's an interesting one. Like, he is in a terrible position. If you watch that play, his arms are stretched right out in front of him. His head's kind of half up. Like, you get hit like that, you're done. But it happens so quickly. You know, it's not a personal blight on Bailey Banfield, but if you just watch it in slow motion, Zach Butters, full of strength, sideways, coming in at speed. I know he's coming from a different position, but, you know, sometimes when you're desperate to win that footy, almost too desperate, you don't look after yourself. You still, as a player, have the ability to protect yourself, I reckon, in most circumstances. There's the Daniel Venables, even Venners. He would say this, Venners. He would say, well, I probably needed to have a look when I was coming back. But it's all hindsight.
It's like saying I should have looked a bit longer to my right when I'm crossing, driving.
When it happens.
I don't put any blame on the
players. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, most circumstances, when you look back on them, you could go, oh, geez.
If I had my time again.
Yeah, but you don't.
And you get the split-second breakdown. Yeah, it's not that easy.
Skeeter, I've got to send you home because you're going to get those beautiful vocal cords ready for the big show at the Leadable Hotel. Shelter Footycast on socials, footycast at backchatstudios.com.au. I expect you wearing your best.
Can we watch the footy while we're there?
Absolutely, we watch the footy while we're there. A couple of Backchat ales. We might even sneak one into your drink while you're trying to drink your zero beers. Skeet, looking forward to tonight. Matt Pavlich, Josh Kennedy.
Yeah, a couple of superstars and you and I.
And you got to bring some energy. That'd be great.
Be there.
Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.